Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and Therim and Sagas Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Ches, the ninth parak HaGozel Eitzim. So the three topics we're going to focus on are a Braisa and Daf Kuf Vav Amanov taught that where a Shomer is Toh and Tain as Ganav and pays Kefal, he does not also pay a Chomish for admitting. Rami Bar Chama asked, Mamun Mechaibo Kefal Potrim in a Chomish? Is it the money which obligates him in Kefal that exempts him from the Chomish? Or is it the Shvu which obligates him in Kefal that exempts him from the Chomish? Can both payments not be obligated by the same money or by the same shvuah? A nafkamina emerges where he swore it was stolen, then swore it was lost. Adam contradicted his first claim, and he admitted to lying about the second. Here, both payments would come from the same money, but different shvuahs. Rabbi brought a brice about one who swore to deny stealing an ox. The brice implies that if he confessed to his theft after Adam testified, so he must pay kefal, he would not pay a chomish, even though the kefal was not obligated by the shvuah, but by the Adam. This proves that the money which obligates Kefal cannot obligate a Chomish. Additional inquiries are posed to further define this principle. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Tavuhu Balim with Shomer. If the owner sued the Shomer to return his Pikadon, Venishba Vishilim, and he swore that it was stolen, exempting himself, and then paid for it voluntarily, Vuhukra Ganav, and the thief was later identified, Kefal Amit, to whom is the Kefal paid? The Mishnah Bava Metzia teaches that where a Shomer volunteered to pay without swearing, the owner agrees to transfer the right to Kefal to the Shomer. Who receives the kefal where he first swore? Abai says, Ubal Bikadun, it's paid to the owner of the deposit. Kevim to Atur Kebe Shvuah, for since he troubled the owner with a Shvuah, Ulmakni Lekfela, the owner does not transfer the kefal payment to him. Rava says, Ulmisha Bikadun, Eitzel, it's paid to the one in whose possession the Bikadun was, meaning the Shomer, Kevim the Shilim, for since he eventually paid for the Bikadun, Makni Lekfela, the owner transfers the kefal payment to him. The Gemara explains how each position is inferred from the Mishnah above Metziah. And pointing with you, the Gemara discusses a Shomer who swore the Pikadon was stolen and the thief was discovered. Tavo Shomer Bahoda, then the Shomer sued the thief to return it and he admitted to his theft. Tavuhu Balim Vakafar, then the owner sued him and he denied the theft and Adim later testified to the theft. Is the thief exempt from Kefal through his confession to the Shomer, or did the Shomer's role end when he swore so the admission was not to a litigant? Rabbi answered, Im be'emes nishpa, if he swore truthfully that it was stolen not due to negligence, niftar haganav behodas shomer, the thief is exempted from kefal through his confession to the shomer because the owner wants him to continue watching it. He is therefore responsible to retrieve the pikadon and is thus a litigant. If he swore falsely, meaning that it was stolen through an onus and in truth it was not, the thief is not exempt by confessing to the shomer because he's no longer a litigant. The Gemara also inquires about the inverse case, where the shomer paid instead of swearing, so he receives the kefal, and the thief later admitted to the owner, but denied to the shomer. This is left unresolved. So once again, the 3 points are number one, a braisa and daf kufav amadov taught, that where a shomer is tohen tainas ganav and pays kefal, he does not also pay a chomish for admitting. Rami Bar Chama asked, Mamun mechaibo kefal potrim in a chomish? Is it the money which obligates him in kefal that exempts him from the chomish? Or is it the shvu which obligates him in kefal that exempts him from the chomish? Can both payments not be obligated by the same money or by the same shvuah? A nafkamina emerges where he swore it was stolen, then swore it was lost. Adam contradicted his first claim, and he admitted to lying about the second. Here, both payments would come from the same money, but different shvuahs. Rabbi brought a brice about one who swore to deny stealing an ox. The brice implies that if he confessed to his theft after Adam testified, so he must pay kefal, he would not pay a chomish, even though the kefal was not obligated by the shvuah, but by the Adam. This proves that the money which obligates kefal cannot obligate a chomish. Additional inquiries are posed to further define this principle. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Tavuhu Balim with Shomer. If the owner sued the Shomer to return his pikadon, Venishba Vishilim, and he swore that it was stolen, exempting himself, and then paid for it voluntarily, Vuhukra Ganav, and the thief was later identified, Kefal Amit, to whom is the kefal paid? The Mishnah Bava Metzia teaches that where a Shomer volunteered to pay without swearing, the owner agrees to transfer the right to kefal to the Shomer. Who receives the kefal where he first swore? Abai says, Ubal Bikadun, it's paid to the owner of the deposit. Kevim to Atur Kebe Shvuah, for since he troubled the owner with a Shvuah, Ulmakni Lekfela, the owner does not transfer the kefal payment to him. Rava says, Ulmisha Bikadun, Eitzel, it's paid to the one in whose possession the Bikadun was, meaning the Shomer, Kevim the Shilim, for since he eventually paid for the Bikadun, Makni Lekfela, the owner transfers the kefal payment to him. The Gemara explains how each position is inferred from the Mishnah above Metziah. And pointing with you, the Gemara discusses a Shomer who swore the Pikadon was stolen and the thief was discovered. Tavo Shomer Bahoda, then the Shomer sued the thief to return it and he admitted to his theft. to Vuhubalim v'kafer. Then the owner sued him, and he denied the theft, and Adim later testified to the theft. Is the thief exempt from kafer through his confession to the shomer, or did the shomer's role end when he swore, so the admission was not to a litigant? Rabbi answered, im be'emes nishpa, if he swore truthfully that it was stolen not due to negligence, niftar hagana behuda shomer, the thief is exempt from kafer through his confession to the shomer because the owner wants him to continue watching it. He is therefore responsible to retrieve the pikadon and is thus a litigant. If he swore falsely, meaning that it was stolen through an onus and in truth it was not, the thief is not exempt by confessing to the shomer because he's no longer a litigant. The Gemara also inquires about the inverse case, where the shomer paid instead of swearing, so he receives the kafel, and the thief later admitted to the owner, but denied to the shomer. This is left unresolved. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Ches, and this one was suggested to us by Mordechai Slovin from Ramat Beit Shemesh and by Nathaniel Jacob from Great Neck, New York. They both suggested that Kuf Ches relates to kach, taking, so they suggested a pickpocket for the Siman. A pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvuah that obligates the tohen tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, and then stole the kefal in the pocket of a shomer who was paid by a thief after the shomer swore an item was stolen and then paid for it voluntarily, decided not to pursue the shomer who swore an item was stolen since the thief admitted to the theft after he was caught and didn't have to pay kefal, even though he later denied the theft to the owner. Once again, slow motion. The pickpocket, that must be more on Daf Kuf Ches. The pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvuah that obligates a tohen tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, which reminds us, a brice on Daf Kuf Vav Amun Aleph taught that where a shomer is tohen tainas ganav and pays kefal, he does not also pay a chomesh for admitting. Rami Bar Chama asked, is it the money which obligates him in kefal that exempts him from the chomesh? Or is it the shvu which obligates him in kefal that exempts him from the chomesh? Can both payments not be obligated by the same money or by the same shavuah? So the pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvu that obligates the tohen tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, and then stole the kefal in the pocket of a shomer who was paid by a thief after the shomer swore an item was stolen and then paid for it voluntarily, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, if the owner sued the shomer to return his pikadon, the nishba v'shilem, and he swore that it was stolen, exempting himself, and then paid for it voluntarily, v'hukra ganav, and the thief was later identified, to whom is the kefal paid? Abai says it's paid to the baal pikadons, for since he troubled the owner with a shvua, the owner does not transfer the kefal payment to him. Rava says it's paid to the one whose possession the pikadon was, meaning the shomer, kevan the shilem, for since he eventually paid for the pikadon, machni lekvela, the owner transfers the kefal payment to him. So the pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvuah that obligates a tohen tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, and then stole the kefal in the pocket of a shomer who was paid by a thief after the shomer swore an item was stolen and then paid for it voluntarily, decided not to pursue the shomer who swore an item was stolen since the thief admitted to the theft after he was caught and didn't have to pay kefal, even though he later denied the theft to the owner, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses a shomer who swore the pikadon was stolen and the thief was discovered. Then the shomer sued the thief to return it and he admitted to his theft. Then the owner sued him and he denied the theft and Adim later testified to the theft. Is the thief exempt from kefal through his confession to the shomer, or did the shomer's role end when he swore, so the admission was not to a litigant? So once again, the pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvuah that obligates the tohen tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, and then stole the kefal in the pocket of a shomer who was paid by a thief after the shomer swore an item was stolen and then paid for it voluntarily, decided not to pursue the shomer who swore an item was stolen since the thief admitted to the theft after he was caught and didn't have to pay kefal, even though he later denied the theft to the owner. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Kuf Dalet. So the Siman Daf Kuf Dalet is a code. So here goes. The code breaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with the Aidim, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a Shaliach, which the creditor appointed with Aidim to collect his debt. Rav Chisda says, Havi Shaliach, he's a legal Shaliach, and the debtor is absolved of his debt after giving him the money, even if it never reaches his creditor. Rav says he's not a legal Shaliach, since the creditor never instructed the debtor to give him the money. So the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor Shaliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with Aidim, but that a shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner Shaliach, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel, Ein v'shalchim maos b'diokani, a shomer should not send money back for the depositor with someone who only has a symbol proving proving he's the owner shliach. Ba'afil edim chasumim ole, even if edim are signed on the symbol as authentic, because this symbol does not prove he was appointed a shliach to retrieve it. Rabbi Yochanan said that if edim are signed on it, he is established as a shliach, and one may send the money with him. So the codebreaker who successfully deciphered that a debtor should pay his debt to the creditor shliach, who was A.W. Ayin, appointed with edim, but that a shomer should not send money back for the depositor of someone who only has a symbol proving he's the owner shliach, was overjoyed when he figured out the code chomesh equals mamun means that if a gazlan died after only paying the victim, the principal is heirs. Must pay the chomesh, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if a gazlan repaid the stolen principal but not the additional fifth, he does not need to bring it to the victim. The Gemara infers that it is still owed. Almo chomesh mamonuhu. We see that the additional fifth payment is a monetary obligation to the victim, and not just for atonement. And if the gazlan would die, his heirs would still owe it. Kufhei, so the Simmerdav Kufhei is a Russian hacker. So here goes. The Russian who hacked, a Russian who hacked, a Russian hacker? That must be Simmerdav Kufhei. The Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, which reminds us, Rava taught, if someone stole three bundles worth three prutos, and they decreased to a total value of two prutos, and he returned two of them, he must still return the other one despite being worth less than a pruta, since it had a pruta's value when it was stolen. So the Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, and found a picture of the thief swearing falsely about having stolen chametz after became Aser Bahana, which reminds us, Rava asked, Nishba Lav Mao, if one swore falsely about having stolen chametz, which had become Aser Bahana, what is the law? Do we say, since if it would be stolen from him, he would have to pay its original value, and therefore it's considered denying a monetary liability? Or do we say that since the chametz is here and can be returned in its worthless form, it is not a monetary denial? So the Russian who hacked into the thief's computer and discovered that he had stolen three bundles worth three prutos, which decreased in value to two prutos, and had only returned two of them, and found a picture of the thief swearing falsely about having stolen chametz after it became Aser Bahana, realized by hacking into a security camera that the reason he swore falsely to deny pikadon was to stall for time and retrieve it from a swamp. Which reminds us, Rav Shesha said, a kofer be pikadon, one who falsely denies having a deposit in his possession, nasalav gazlan, he's become a gazlan through his denial, even without swearing, v'chai ba'onsin, he's a chayiv for unavoidable mishaps which befall it. Rami Bar Chama challenged him from a mission which lists someone who swore falsely to deny pikadon as someone who is chashud al shvu, a suspect in regard to oaths. According to Rav Sheshes, he's considered a gazan who's disqualified from swearing through his mere denial, even without swearing. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah's case is where the pikadon was in a swamp, and his denial was not to steal it, but to stall for time until he retrieves it. When he denies a pikadon in his possession, he is immediately considered a gazlan. Daf Kuf Vav. So the Simon Daf Kuf Vav is a tightrope walker walking a fine line, a kav. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that must be on Daf Kuf Vav, kav, line, walking a fine line. The tightrope walker who told two edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he already sworn denial to a claim embased, and which reminds us, Rav Huna said in Rav's name, if one says to his fellow, mana li biyadcha, a mana of mine is in your possession, and the defendant denies it and swears, and afterwards edim testify against him, he's pater from paying because the pasuk says, v'lakach bala b'lo yishalim, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not pay, which teaches, kevin shekibul habam shvua shuv ein mashal mamun, once the owner has accepted a shvua, the defendant no longer pays money. So the tightrope walker who told two edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him since he already sworn denial to a claim embased in, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim was told he was putter from Dalad Behay, which reminds us, where a thief stood for judgment and was found guilty and was told to pay, shechting afterwards would not obligate Dalad Behay. So the tightrope walker who told two edim standing on the platform that it was too late to testify against him, since he already sworn denial to a claim, embased in, walked high above where a thief below who shechted a stolen animal after Basin had told him to pay the victim was told he was pater from Dal the Hay, and saw a shomer refuse to take an oath when his little son claimed he had given the shomer his little balancing beam to watch, which reminds us of Brisa Darshan's the pasuk Kiten Ish, if a man shall give someone a pikadon, teaching Ein Asinus Katan Klum, a minor's giving of a pikadon is nothing, meaning a shomer would not swear about such a pikadon nor pay kefal for tolan tainas ganav. Daf Kuf Zayin, so the simmer Daf Kuf Zayin is couscous. So here goes. The couscous restaurant owner couscous, that must be one Daf Kuv Zion. The couscous restaurant owner who was motivated mixes to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, which reminds us, Rabbi explained, Mifnei ma'amra Torah motiva mixa satana yishava. Why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? Chazaka in admeiz pana bifnei balchobo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. Rashi explains, because he lent him money. Thus completely denying a loan is believed without swearing. So the couscous restaurant owner who was motivated mixes to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motivated mixes, which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba taught that the Torah required swearing about a pikadon even for a full denial. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed and said that a shomer chinam who falsely swears that the item was stolen from him, eino chayv ad sheyikfor b'mixas v'yod b'mixas, he's not liable to pay kefil unless he denies part of the claim and admits to part of the claim, because the pasuk says, ki hu zeh, this is it, regarding the shomer chinam's false claim, which is where he pays kefil. Similarly, Rami Bar Chama said, arba shomrim srichin kafir b'mixas v'hoda b'mixas. The four shomrim of the Torah require partial denial and partial admission to become obligated to swear, but would not swear for a full denial. So, the couscous restaurant owner who was motivated by mixes to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motivated by mixes. When his shomer chinam came forward to pay him kefil after he falsely swore the couscous supplies he was watching were stolen, when in fact he had used them to make his own couscous. Which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says about a shomer chinam who falsely swears the item was stolen, eino chayv ad sheyishlach bo yad, he's not chayv to pay kefil unless he misappropriated, meaning he used it without permission, before he swore. The Torah requires a shomer chinam swears imo shalach yadu b'malachas re'eu, that he did not lay his hand upon his fellow's property, which implies that the kefil penalty for swearing falsely, which falls, is where he did misappropriate the pikadon. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan held, he's liable b'omedes ha'avusa, where the watched animal is standing by the trough, meaning where it was not used. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which of the one that a thief who shechs a stolen animal after being found guilty and based in is pater from dal v'hei? That's on daf kuvav. Good number two, which daf do we discuss the case of one who falsely claimed that he bought a field on the Reish Galus's behalf? And the question is, if he can ask the seller to write a second shtar? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Good number three, which definitely the question whether it's the Mammon or Shvua, which obligates Kefil, that exempts from Chomish. That's on Dav Kuf Ches. Good number four, which daf do we machok is whether a shaliach for a creditor that was appointed with the Edim is considered a legal shaliach. That's on Dav Kuf Dal. Good number five, which definitely the reason why one whose motive mimics us must take a Shvua. That's on Dav Kuf Zayin. Good number six, which stuff through the question whether a shomer who voluntarily paid after swearing about a theft becomes entitled to the kefil? That's on Dav. Kuf Ches. Good number seven, which stuff through Malko is what is done if a gazan robs someone from a group of five and can't remember who he stole from? That's on Dav. Kuf Gimel. Good number eight, which stuff through Malko is if Shemitah produce can be used to soak flax if it was specifically picked for that purpose? That's on Dav. Kuf Beis. Good number nine, which daf do we discuss if a thief's confession to the owner or shomer exempts him from kefil? That's on daf. Kuf Ches. Good number ten, which daf do we learn about amorim who hold the laws of shomrim require hoda b'mixas? That's on daf. Kuf Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.